Well, good evening, dear ones, and welcome to our Wednesday evening church service on this 27th day of February. Almost the last day of the month. Got one more day, and then we're into March. And another year going by pretty quick. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording, and glad to have you with us in fellowship. Our opening song is titled Anywhere with Jesus. That's another beautiful hymn. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus I am not afraid. Anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Anywhere with Jesus I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Through his hand may lead me over dreary way. Anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. Anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep. When the darkling shadows round about me creep. Knowing I shall wake and never more to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. As long as the Lamb is leading, then we can safely go. So welcome, dear ones, to our midweek church service, and so glad to be back in fellowship with you after a few days apart. And what a joy it is to be one day closer to heaven. Now, before we get into our study book of Acts, it's time for opening prayer, and who would like to offer that for us tonight? Please go right ahead.
Dear Jesus, here we are again on a Wednesday prayer meeting night. And we know that if you are asked, you will be here with us. So please join us in our prayer meeting. You are the object of our praise. Thank you for waking us up this morning and for giving us another day of life and for the energy to make it through the day. Please send the Holy Spirit to give Elder Rob the words and open our eyes and ears that we may hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And thank you, dearest sister. So we're continuing in our study book of Acts. And we're still in chapter 21, and we left off at verse 26 last time. And the last thing that we were discussing was that James and some of the other Jewish brethren there had come up with a plan, or with a scheme, if you will, to try and alleviate a lot of the controversy that was surrounding Paul's presence being there. And they said that multitudes have heard that you talk against the law of Moses and say that we don't have to keep it anymore, just throw it out and go on your sweet way. And since you're going to be here, there might be an uproar take place. And so we want to try and smooth that out and try and nip it in the bud before it starts. So this is what we want you to do. We want you to follow one of the ceremonial laws. There's some brethren here that have taken a vow and that they're at the end of their vow and they need to have their head shaved and then go through the whole ritual process. So join with them. And since you'll be partaking in the ceremonial ritual, then other people that have generated a prejudice against you will see that there's really no validity in the prejudice, and then everything will be at peace. But for Paul to follow that would be deception, because he didn't teach, he didn't believe that the ceremonial laws were still binding. He was teaching and believing that they had been done away with Christ on the cross when he died. So for him to go along with this plan and scheme would be hypocritical. It'd be going against what he stood for, what he was preaching. And all for the sake of trying to gain some peace. And we left off with the idea or the question, would you be willing to compromise your faith in order to keep the peace? And we're all going to be faced with that very issue. Because when the Sunday law is enforced, people are going to be looking to us as Sabbath keepers, saying we're the troublemakers. Why don't you go along with the law and keep peace? Why don't you worship on Saturday and worship on Sunday, and then you'll be keeping the law, there will be peace, and there won't be any controversy anymore. But God's word says, 6 days shalt thou labor, and only the Sabbath on Saturday you're to keep holy. So we can't keep Sunday holy as well, even if it's the law of the land, even if it's to try and keep peace. We can't compromise our faith. So anyways, this was the situation that Paul found himself in. And we'll see now what he decided to do. And who would like to read verses 26, 27, 28, and 29 and 30. So 26 to 30. Who would like to read that?
Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews, which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into, And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut.
Amen. And thank you. So Paul decided to follow this human reasoning, this plan devised by his fellow brethren to try and avoid a big tumult, a big controversy. But it didn't prevent it at all. So on the last day, the seventh day of this purification ceremony, individuals saw Paul in the temple, and they cried out saying, "Help, this is the man that teaches that we're not to follow the laws of Moses, and he's also brought Gentiles into the temple and defiled it." Now, there was no evidence that Paul had done so. It was an assumption. But it was stated as fact. So of course the other Jews that are there are going to be angry that their temple, this sacred place, has been defiled, and this man Paul is the one who did it. So they're all going to be up in arms. Now whether they would have been up in arms with just the first part of the accusation that Paul is the one that teaches against this holy place, it doesn't really say. And I guess you can leave that to your imagination if that would have been enough to stir up the people. But definitely the last part, he's defiled our temple, got the people behind them, and a mob formed, and they joined in taking hold of Paul, and they were going to kill him. They were going to take the law in their own hands, even though it was all based, or most of it, at least half of it, was based on an assumption, not a proven fact. So this spread throughout, it says here, all the city. So it wasn't just within the temple that this was all confined, but it went throughout the city, this uproar. And they shut the doors of the temple. And Paul was taken out of the temple. Can't have a defiler in there. So what does this tell us about human devising and the best wise, according to the human understanding, plans? What does this tell us about schemes and human devisings? Amen. A comment? Deceitful. So, Paul ended up following a decision of his brethren. The Bible here doesn't say that he took it to God first, saying, "Lord, this is what they want me to do. Do you go along with it? Do you approve this? Do you agree with this?" The Bible here brings out the point that Paul seemingly accepted it based on what his brethren wanted them to do, or wanted him to do. And the Bible doesn't bring out there was any deliberation. It just, you know, Paul definitely wanted unity with his brethren. He knew that there was divisive factions within the brethren, especially the Pharisaical part, wanting to stay with the laws of Moses and not give them up. And so he was very desirous of having bridges built so that there could be unity among all the brethren. And so you can see his motivation here was to please his brethren, to try and let them see that he was willing to follow their wishes. So you can see the motive there was a good motive, but it was still one in which God was not a part of. And the spirit of prophecy brings out that it was not God's plan for Paul to follow this counsel of James and the brethren, because that cut short his ministry. He would have been able to continue on in freedom, going forth wherever he wanted to, preaching the word. But because now of this situation, his freedom was cut short. His ministry lessened in the amount of time that he had. So there is great danger in following the counsels of men, the plans devised without God being involved. Because no matter how foolproof we may think these plans are, without God involved in it, it's foolishness. And Paul found this out firsthand. Any other thoughts? Any other comments? Amen. Good quotation. From Great Controversy, page 45, and this is the 1888 version, says, if unity could be secured only by the compromise of truth and righteousness, then let there be difference and even war. Very good quote. So we cannot compromise truth, no matter if it is for the sake of unity, no matter if it is for the sake of peace. Truth is the only true basis for unity and peace. It can't be compromised. It has to be exalted above all the schemes and plans and devisings and decisions of men or councils of men or churches or states. Truth has to be exalted above them all, because the truth is Jesus. In exalting the truth, we're uplifting Jesus, we're glorifying him. But in compromising the truth, we're downgrading Christ. We're not lifting him up, we're pushing him down, and we're exalting something else in his place. Any other thoughts? Another comment, it says, there were loopholes in man's reasoning. God's plans are always perfect. God's word contains the truth. Amen. So the plans that James and other brethren came up with, according to their imagination, was going to work. It was going to diffuse the controversy. But their imagination fell far short of reality. They couldn't see the end from the beginning. God could. So that's why we have to take all of our plans to the Lord and let him rule or overrule, change or accept whatever plans they may be. And he will never make a mistake. Amen. Any other thoughts? Please go right ahead. So, Paul now is apprehended of the Jews. He's been taken out of the temple. The doors have been shut, so he can't get back in. So what now is taking place with Paul? And remember, these are Jews, his fellow countrymen. And who would like to read 31 and 32.
And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Sorry about that.
It's okay, dear sister, and thank you. So the Jews that apprehended Paul and took him out of the temple by force weren't content that Paul's no longer in the temple. They wanted to take out their anger on him, and so they went about to kill him. You can imagine him being hit and kicked, probably stoned. And this went on for a little bit of time until tidings or news came up to the chief captain of the band of Romans in that area. And so he took some soldiers with him and went down to where the fray was taking place. And when the Jews saw the chief captain and the soldiers accompanying him, then they quit beating Paul. You can sort of imagine they just didn't cease beating him, but they sort of took the last little pokes and jabs and kicks and thrusts and everything else they could as they were going away from Paul. So if news hadn't have reached the captain when it did, if it would have been 5 minutes later than what it was, you could imagine that Paul would not have been alive, or he would have been more seriously injured, probably fatally. So you can see the mercy of God in this by allowing the news to get to the captain just in time for him to come down and rescue Paul before he was injured more seriously and possibly fatally. So even though Paul made a mistake in following this plan of his brethren, made a mistake in compromising his faith to seek peace with his brethren, and now Paul was in trouble because of his choice, his compromise, God still intervened and saved Paul from death. He didn't leave him alone. He didn't say, well, you know, that's your decision. You should have known better. And all the consequences now are yours. It's on your head. God intervened and lessened the consequences that could have befallen Paul. And it's the same with you and me. When we've made mistakes, when our decisions have not been the wisest that they should have been, when we've done things that compromise our faith, when we follow human plans without going to God and asking his approval or disapproval of them, and we come into similar situations where consequences come our way, God is there to lessen the blow out of his love and mercy for us, out of his pity for our weakness and foolishness, so that we can have another chance to learn the lesson and hopefully next time avoid repeating it. So here Paul was saved from death, but now he's in the hands of the army, of the police, if you will. Any other thoughts?
I was thinking it's a good thing that the Jews were under the Roman rule. The Jews were kept as a nation, but they still were overruled by the Romans, or Paul would have been killed by his own brethren. And you think about when Jesus came into Jerusalem, the Jews had no power to kill him, but urged the Romans to kill him. So it's quite interesting that there's that barrier between Paul and his brethren.
Amen. Amen. Now, where's James? Where are Paul's brethren that urged him to follow this plan? They're nowhere to be found, at least according to the scriptures here. They weren't trying to defend Paul. They weren't up there trying to keep Paul from being beaten. The Bible doesn't say that they were anywhere close to Paul. And it doesn't mention anywhere that they tried to save him from the mob, or as we continue reading, that they tried to save him from jail, or from, you know, the meeting his sentence there. They're nowhere to be found. And they were the ones that were instrumental in devising this plan and urging Paul to follow it. And that's really sad. You know, I imagine they were praying for Paul, but they weren't there physically to try and help him. They sort of left Paul all to himself, all on his own. It's quite amazing. Comment room, maybe it was a setup. The Bible doesn't say that, you know, this plan was conceived for the purpose of trying to get Paul out of the way. I doubt that his brethren would stoop that low. Another comment, it says maybe they were hiding. Perhaps. But if you've been instrumental in leading an individual to follow a particular plan that you've developed, and that plan falls through, you should not allow all the blame or all the consequences to fall upon the person that followed your advice. You need to be up there taking the blame yourself and trying to save your brother or that person that followed your advice. But in this particular situation, the Bible is silent in regards to anything that James and his fellow brethren did. I mean, we're to think the best of them, not the worst. So we're to give them the benefit of the doubt that perhaps they did go to the captain there and say, hey, you know, Paul's an innocent man. You need to release him. It was just a big misunderstanding. But it wasn't successful if they did do that. So now Paul is in the hands of the Romans. He's no longer being beaten by his countrymen. He's safe at least from that physical violence. But now he's in the hands of the Roman army or the police of Jerusalem. Are they going to treat him any better? Well, we'll find out next time. Are there any thoughts or comments, any questions before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please go right ahead.
Well, I didn't expect a cliffhanger, Elder Rob.
Well, you can read ahead. I mean, you probably know the story of what took place. But to have your own countrymen turn against you and seek to kill you because of an assumption, not something that was proven, but just what someone accused you of. And this type of mob vigilante mentality is not limited to 2,000 years ago. And again, this is all centered on a religious issue. Paul has desecrated this temple. Paul is teaching against our beliefs. It's all a religious issue that those that didn't like what Paul was saying went about to kill him because of his teachings. And they added false assumptions to Paul's teachings as well. But again, it's centered on a religious issue. And the scriptures bring out that in the last days, the days in which we live, the very same type of hostility against those who speak against a church, against the beliefs of that church, against the sins of their countrymen, are also going to feel that same persecuting power. And people are going to take it in their own hands to deliver the persecution. So just like what was taking place in Paul's day is going to take place in our day as well. And in some parts of the world and in some parts of this land, it's already taking place. So history is just repeating itself. And we need to make sure that we prepare each day, being faithful in the little things, so that when we get to that point of being forced to decide whether to compromise our faith, whether to follow the laws of men versus the laws of God, we'll be prepared to stand for God and give Him glory, regardless of the consequences. But we have to prepare for that time now, especially in the little things. And praise God for His grace and strength.
You can see in today's world there is a lack of natural courtesy and love for one another. People are more willing to believe something bad about someone than something good.
That's very true. There's a saying, and I think I'm going to botch it, but error can spread around the world before the truth has even got its boots on to start walking forth. So false doctrine spreads a lot faster than the truth. And what a little error has the power to do in the minds of men and women is amazing. The false accusation against Paul stirred up the whole city of Jerusalem. It's just amazing. And that spread fast. And the same thing is going to take place in these last days. False accusations, especially with the internet now that's worldwide, false accusations is going to spread around the world, and people are going to believe the accusation. They're not going to take the time to check it out, to ask for the facts, to research it out. They're just going to accept it. Just like in Paul's day. Any other thoughts? Any other comments? Comment in the room that says maybe it was the brethren that went to the police. The Bible doesn't say, but maybe, you know, maybe they were the ones that took it to the captain to try and save Paul's life. So, you know, that's a possibility. It seems reasonable, but the Bible doesn't say. Are there any prayer requests? Earlier there was put in the room to keep the Amongo family in prayer because of the loss of the husband and the father and the church leader. Also the conference meeting that's going to take place in Africa. Okay. Two unspoken requests. Unless you want to speak them out, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I gave out two books today, so I was wondering if you could pray for the people. Yeah, I went to that dinner that I was telling you about again tonight, so yeah. And yeah, and my unspoken prayer request also. Thank you.
Oh, praise the Lord. And definitely we'll keep in prayer the evangelistic work there. And good work, dear sister. Keep it up. And there was also put in the room prayer for the work in Africa that's taking place. Any other requests?
Yeah, that my sister would make up her mind to get out of the city.
Yeah, pray for me to get out of this city, okay?
Quite interesting. Either you come out of the city. You know, in Africa, it's quite different. People, majority of the people stay in the villages. So when you talk out of getting out of the city, quite interesting.
Amen. Yeah, I guess the villages would be like the little towns that we're part of here in the country. But well, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And who would like to be the first one to start out? And I'll go ahead and finish off. So please feel free, dear ones.
Loving Father in heaven, we come on bended knee once again to ask for your blessing, your direction. I didn't write down all the prayers that were requested. I'm sure Bob did. He'll read them to you in a minute. But I have a burden for my sister to get out of the city. And I understand that Ida would like to do the same. You work it out for her so that she can see her way clear to move out in the country, grow a garden, provide her own food, so that when the no buy and sell law comes through, she'll have something to eat. I have a little garden this year. We're getting ready to build one. Not because I'm afraid we're going to starve, but it's just, it's practice. You know, you don't do anything perfect the first time. And this will be my third season of trying to grow a garden. And we just ask for your blessing as we seek to follow your counsel. Bless the ones who are not here, who would like to have been here. If there's any sick among us, lay your healing hand on them and forgive us for our sins and clothe us with the righteousness of Christ that we may be able to stand in the judgment. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Precious Father, we thank you so very much that we have the privilege and honor to lift our prayers to thee through Jesus, and that you hear and answer them according to thy perfect will and timing. Thank you for being so merciful and tender-hearted. And even though mistakes have been made, yet you don't cast us off, but you draw closer to us in leading us to see our errors and to open our understanding and giving us the grace and strength not to repeat them, but to pick ourselves up and move forward in your grace and strength. Forgive us for doing anything that has hindered your work going forward. And I pray that you'll help us to redeem the time so that whatever hindrance is charged to us may be eliminated and your coming hastened instead. We thank you for hearing all of the prayers and requests that have been made for the Amongo family in the time of their sorrow, also for the Wilma family in Namibia over the loss of the dear mother and sister and wife, also for the conference meeting that will be taking place in Africa, as well as the work there in spreading the truth. We also pray that you'll be with the two individuals that received the books that were given out, and please work upon their hearts and let them be curious to want to know what's in the books, and so to take time to read it. And please, Spirit, open their understanding. Also, the unspoken requests that have been made by various individuals, and thank you for knowing each one and answering accordingly. And I also add that you will work upon Brother Dick's sister's heart, as well as other individuals, that they will see the need not just to get out of the cities, but to actually work to get out of the cities. For it's only going to grow worse. It's not going to get better. And while the freedom is still available, it would be the best to move forward and come away from the corruption and the turmoil there. Thank you for your divine protection and watchful care and preventing the devil from causing us more harm, more perplexity and distress. Thank you for tempering his attacks, that they are much less and much softer than he would like them to be. Thank you, Father, for your tender-heartedness to us. We thank you that we're a day closer to heaven, and thank you again for allowing us to meet in freedom in this chat room. And thank you most of all for your word of life and your words of instruction and inspiration. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, dear ones, are there any other thoughts, any other comments? Any testimonies? Any songs? Please go right ahead. Well, I have a testimony here and a praise the Lord. We had about 2 inches of snow here, and since we're not accustomed to getting much snow, there was a lot of dead branches and a lot of things that fell. Small things, but we had wind connected with the snow, and so that brought down a couple bigger trees. But none of them fell on any structures. They all fell across a road, but it was not anything that caused any big damage. So we praising the Lord that everything was protected and that the trees are cut up, most of them at least, and we have some firewood for next year. So, and no one got hurt. So that's an added blessing on that. The other praise the Lord I have is I checked on the YouTube, statistics, and we are now over 1600 viewers and, over 20,000 minutes that have been watched of our YouTube videos. So praise God indeed. And again, please keep the people in prayer that the seeds of truth that they watched will be able to generate a converted heart because of it. And again, we have individuals that may watch 10 seconds. We have other individuals that may watch the whole thing. So whatever they watch is still seeds that can be planted and lead to a converted heart. So praise God indeed. Yeah, the 333 hours. I know. When you look, you know, 20,000, I think it was 20,500 minutes. And it sounds like a lot of minutes, but it had, you know, divided by 60, it's 333 hours. I mean, that sounds more impressive than 20,000 minutes. But anyways, praise God indeed. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, testimonies? Please feel free.
Yes, good evening everybody over there. I managed to travel to Emasuli, Kenya, and it was a blessed trip, though in solo. What was so interesting and amazing is that could not imagine that our work had grown bigger to that level. Many people came from all churches to attend the last funeral of our dear brother Isaac Omong. I was now able to come into contact. People were taken along without meeting Isaac, Philip, Naftali, Evans, and many others. And I was overwhelmed by the people I met. I could not imagine when I first believed this message that probably our number could grow to this level. But quite amazingly, we have a huge number of believers and they are all doing great work in their different locations. So praise God that the work is growing bigger and bigger, and probably one time it may go out of our hands and we shall leave it to the Lord himself taking care of the course. Many, many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I had asked my brother Kenneth that now you are telling us to separate from SDA Church. where are we taking the people? And now he said, he told me, the Lord knows, let's leave everything in the Lord's hand. And now I'm realizing the Lord is taking care of his course. And that the work is taking quite a different shape. And you know, many of our people are from poor families. But despite of being from poor families, we see things accruing in the Lord's work, people doing the way they can to support the work in their little way. So I believed the Lord is doing something great for Africa, and we very much pray that let's be united. Let's come together, and if there be anything small, then let's put our hands together so that we do what we can for the Lord's cause. And therefore, I believe with strong courage that our meeting is going to be a great blessing to the African people, because many have registered from South Africa, from Kenya, Tanzania, DRC, and I'm optimistic that it may surpass our handling in our means, but I'm praying God could help us do it successfully. Thank you, Brother Bob, Elder Dick, and many others who have stood with us to push what we could not have pushed. I mean, we are indeed inept that we cannot do what I see now. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Things may be moving quite well in Africa. Amen. Thank you.
Oh, praise the Lord, dear brother. And amen. We'll definitely be continuing to uphold the work taking place there in Africa. And may the fire of the Lord's truth spread quickly and fully fill the African continent, reaching every nation, kindred, tongue, and people within that continent. And then from there into Asia and all around the world. So praise God, dear brother, and continue working while time lasts. And may God multiply your efforts and the efforts of our fellow workers there in Africa. So, amen. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any songs?
Maybe if Brother Bob could sing for me the hymn, Trust and Obey. I don't know how to sing it, but I get amazed when I hear that those tones come out of lips of my dear brothers and sisters. I keep humming because it touches my heart.
Well, sure, dear brother. This is a great hymn. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no
other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows, for the joy he bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. And I can't see the last verse, dear brother. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen.
Amen. Greet him.
Amen. And sorry about that, dear sister. To me, I've got it down half an inch past the last line. So I've got a half inch border down there with, but I guess on your screen it's showing that I'm cutting off some. So I have to give it a wide berth.
Yeah, I just couldn't read the last one. I knew it probably ended up with trust and obey, but I didn't know the other three words.
Well, that's all right. I appreciate you letting me know. And I'll just make sure it's got a wide border around it next time. I mean, is it cutting it off right now? Wow. All right, there's like an inch and a quarter. Can you see it now?
Yes, that's a lot better.
Okay. Well, I'll have to give it a wider berth than what I thought I needed to. But anyways, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. That's very true. And if we confess the Lord Jesus before men, before our loved ones, then he will confess our name before the Father. We definitely want our names to come up before our God. So, amen.
You know, yesterday, can you hear me? Yesterday I was singing the Bible Stands. I think I finally got the tune down, and I keep trying to catch Sister Jean because that's her favorite song, but she always leaves before we get there.
Well, if Sister Jean is here and would like to start us out on this wonderful hymn, please go ahead, dear sister. Well, I'll go ahead and start. The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted and destroyed if they never can. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands and it will forever when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given. All its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Amen. The word of the Lord is forever, and it will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which it was given. And this whole earth will be lightened with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And what a privilege it is to join with the swelling of the loud cry and to further uplift and glorify the Lord. What a privilege it is. Well, dear ones, is there one last song that you'd like to sing before we close tonight's service? Please go right ahead.
Well, it's not a song, but I was thinking about the Bible and how it has stood through all the ages. And not only that, it's been translated into I don't know how many languages, but probably just about every known language in the universe, this world, actually. It's amazing that God's word is available to everyone. Thank God.
Amen. Those two witnesses, the Old and New Testament, are definitely giving their testimony out into the world. And even though they were put to death and lied in the streets of the Paris there in France, they were resurrected. And they definitely are shining forth the word of God. There's so many Bible societies out there spreading the word around the world. And praise God for the two witnesses, the Old and New Testament. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Have a wonderful night's sleep. And those on the other side of the world, have a wonderful fresh day ahead, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you again this coming Friday evening. And what a joy it is to have God's Word dwelling within us as the rule and guide of our lives. Indeed a privilege. So, Brother Dick, end our meeting.
Don't you wish I had the range that you have, Bob? It would sound a lot better. Maybe one of these days I'll get you to sing the song, huh? I've been looking for the words, but I can't come up with anything more than the chorus. During the day, the verse came to me and I sang it. I'll have to do that next time. Ah, it's gone. I forgot it. So keep looking up, my God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.